It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones want foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio, like usual. Hope you had an outstanding weekend. Man, that was great watching all that basketball, wasn't it? And what a great job by our friends here, our partners at Westwood One Sports. They just do such a great job. They've got their feature games they start with, then they bounce around to all the best games at the best moments. It's like NFL Red Zone, if you've ever watched that. Just tip of the cap. Couldn't be more pleased with what they were able to bring to the table, and hope you were able to, you want to watch on television if you can, but my goodness, they did a great job, so I hope you're able to enjoy some of what we were able to bring you this weekend. As it relates to the NCAA basketball tournament. And we'll have more of it going forward, of course, as we're far from done here. We'll have some of the NCAA women's basketball tournament, some of the NIT as well. I want to say this weekend, Saturday at 1:45 with a 2 o'clock tip, we've got the Division II championship game. So make sure you just have the website bookmarked, 1650thefan.com. And go to the broadcast calendar. Make sure that you just hover your mouse over that on-air tab. You'll see the link for the broadcast calendar, and then click into that. You'll be all set, ready to go. Just bookmark the website so it makes it easy for you. That's where you can also stream the show, all of our great programming at 1650thefan.com. And just makes me think to thank you, no matter how you're tuned in, no matter how you tune in on a regular basis, you've got those options. The stream at the website, your smart speaker, our mobile app, of course, at 1650 AM and 102.3 FM. And make sure that you follow us on social media. That's where a lot of our content goes, where you might be able to find it first. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan and you'll find us, and you'll be all set, ready to go. Make sure that if you want to listen to previous shows, perhaps you saw me tweet out about who was going to be on. You couldn't listen live. You can always listen on demand with the podcast at 1650thefan.com. And if you want to join in today, join the fun with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918. Save it in your phone, 319-277-1918. Or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you could perhaps email the show. If you'd rather do that than call, by all means, fire away. Email address is Cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, like usual, we'll get it started here in just a little bit with area sports news and scores for this Monday. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this pleasant Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday. I think maybe a little rain is in the forecast, but man, I will take that over what we had this past weekend. My goodness, that was cold. But yeah, Megan Mulford will be here at the end of that first break to give us the forecast. We'll come back from that first timeout, and a colleague of mine at the Cedar Rapids Gazette does an outstanding job, Rob Gray. He's been on the show a number of times. Rob joins us today to look back on the Iowa State men's and women's basketball seasons. Of course, both of those coming to an end this weekend. And I know that the Iowa State women's game was after the men's game, but you know, people were like, "Man, they just the women, they didn't shoot it very well." I would say that the men's team was like, "Here, hold my beer." As what was the? I got it right here. The final number on that. You talk about building a brick house. 14 of 60 from the field, 23% were the Iowa State men in that 59-41 loss to Pitt. Iowa State, of course, the 6 seed, Pitt, the 11 seed, and I've watched a lot of basketball, folks, and I know there's plenty of you out there that have made a lot more trips around the sun than I have, and even though I see a lot of it because it's in part my, you know, my job, man, have you, me, anybody else seen a team struggle to shoot from the floor that plays Division I Power Conference basketball more than the Cyclones did this weekend? And of course, like usual, when something like this happens where it goes all the way to one end of the spectrum, and I want to say there was one or two games during the regular season that almost got to this level, but I mean, come on, like nothing. When are you ever going to be able to match 14 to 60 from the floor? But it's raised these conversations about TJ Otzelberger, his team building philosophy, things of that nature. And we'll talk about that when Rob Gray of the Gazette joins us in the next segment of the show. But what I think is important to point out, and I said this when Iowa State was having that tough finish to the regular season in the Big 12, was, I mean, the cupboard was bare, right? 2-22 was the record of the previous season, right? After Steve Prohm's last year. And he turned that around and got him to a Sweet 16 last season. So I think what he did, TJ Otzelberger, what he's done is play the hand the best way he could and how he was dealt that hand. And, you know, you can control effort. You can't necessarily control the amount of talent you get, especially how quickly you're able to get talent, because there's always been this belief, and it very much continues to be a belief. I mean, just look at the recruiting class that Coach Otz has coming in for very outstanding high school players, whereas the past two seasons he's had to rebuild the team on the fly through the transfer portal. Easier said than done, but who in the country? He's got to be on a top 10 or top 5 of coaches that, under similar circumstances, have been able to achieve this much success. So, yeah, that was ugly this weekend, no doubt about it. You know, it elicits some fair conversations and critiques, but I think the arrow is still very, very much pointing up for Iowa State men's basketball and women's basketball as well. Definitely tough to see Ashley Jones go out like that. Just a game where they just couldn't quite get it going. And credit Toledo. I don't just want to say Iowa State couldn't get it going. Toledo played a good game. So we'll break it all down when Rob Gray of the Gazette joins us in the next segment. I also, too, as much as if you're a regular listener and you know how much I've been harping on the fact that it's a rigged game to get more and more Power 5 conference teams in, because this is less about, you know, student athletes getting a fair shake on making the 68-team field and more about, you know, the big money programs getting their opportunity to get the big money that comes from the revenue share of being in the tournament. But look, I mean, what, Furman over Virginia, Princeton over Arizona, then Princeton beats Mizzou, bury the lead, Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue, Florida Atlantic. I know they're a 9 seed and Memphis was an 8, but that's a team that has not traditionally had success. And then they're able to beat Fairleigh Dickinson to advance to the Sweet 16. So you got a 9 and a 15 seed in the Sweet 16. And this just, to me, I'll go back to the point I made on Twitter that I had brought up here on the show. If you remember conference tournament week, Charleston, a team that lost to San Diego State, they lost that game 63-57 in the first round. It was a 5-12 matchup. But Charleston was allegedly, I saw it on ESPN's website, Lunardi had Charleston on the bubble. They had 30 wins. And I made the point in one of my tweets, if you can remember, when I brought this up, and I think this is proven once more, not that it hasn't already been proven, but here we go again with a 15-seed Princeton, with a 16-seed Fairleigh Dickinson, the shortest team in the tournament against the tallest team in top seed Purdue, that These are 18 to 24-year-olds playing organized sport. And just because one team has more talent doesn't mean in a given 40-minute game that they're necessarily going to be able to win. So if you win 30 games, like I pointed out with Charleston, you should be in the damn tournament. If you've won 30 games, that is so difficult to do, playing Division I college basketball. I don't care what conference you play in. And the main point was, I also, at that point, really don't give a damn about, you know, what brand, be it Kansas, be it Charleston, be it UConn, be it Fairleigh Dickinson, is across your chest. You can't tell me that there's that big a difference between these humans playing this organized sport just because one guy says Kansas across his chest and the other guy says Charleston. Well, how many wins does the Charleston team have? Tell me that. They have 30? Well, I bet they're really good. And I bet that if they got enough cracks at a Power 5 team that you think, you know, with 18 wins needs to be in the damn field, that they would beat them. And maybe they would beat them in a 3 or 5 game series on a neutral floor. So it's just the evidence continues to stack up as far as I'm concerned on this push to get, you know, more and more Cinderellas out of the tournament, which this is what we love. I mean, they think that more of these Power 5 teams is going to be better. No, I think ratings would go down. So there you go. I'll get off the soapbox. We'll try to stay on time here today, but a couple things I wanted to point out in the open of today's show. All right. I don't think I brought it up, but after we're done talking with Rob Gray of the Gazette in the next segment about Iowa State men's and women's basketball, we'll take the time out near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back on the other side of that break, and I've got audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley. The Panthers start spring practices this week, and we'll definitely ramp up the coverage here very quickly. Bouncing around Iowa State, you and I, with spring football coverage, not just this week to preview it, but throughout spring football, because as you'll hear from Coach Farley, this is a big, big time of the year. And I think especially given the seasons that each of the Panthers, Hawkeyes, and Cyclones had for same but different reasons, these springs are going to be incredibly important to those teams. So I'm really looking forward on digging in on some football, so I hope you are as well. We'll have that audio from Coach Farley in the third segment after we're done there. We'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Monday edition of the show. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Monday. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has released this year's football districts and Class 5A groups. It's going to be for the next two seasons, 2023 and 2024. And this is the first time that those socioeconomic factors were used for classifications. Here's where Metro teams will be located: Cedar Falls and Waterloo West, both in 5A groups. Cedar Falls in a group with Pleasant Valley, Linmar, Dubuque Senior, Davenport West, and Muscatine. Waterloo West in a group with West Des Moines Valley, Northwest Waukee, Ames, Marshalltown, and Ottumwa. Waterloo East in a Class 4A District Number 2 with Western Dubuque, Decorah, Mason City, and Waverly Shell Rock. Waterloo Columbus in Class 1A District 4 with Alburnett, West Marshall, Grundy Center, Hudson, and South Hardin. If you go to our post on the website, you can see the link to visit the Iowa High School Athletic Association website, which has the list of all the groups. The NCAA Wrestling Championships wrapped up Saturday night in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In case you missed it, Iowa State placed 11th as a team. Cyclones' David Carr fell 8-2 in the 165-pound finals to Missouri's Keegan O'Toole. It was Carr's first loss of the season. Finishes 27-1 with that runner-up finish at 165. Meanwhile, the UNI Panthers finished 16th in the team standings. The Panthers' Parker Kekeisen dropped a 7-2 decision to Aaron Brooks of Penn State in the finals at 184 pounds. Kekeisen, a redshirt sophomore, finishes his season 26-2. And Iowa finished runners-up in the team race, but 55 points behind Penn State. The Hawkeyes' Riel Woods finished as NCAA runner-up at 141 pounds, dropping a 6-4 decision to Andrew Alarez of Northern Colorado. Penn State, as I mentioned, national champs. Caitlin Clark had 22 points and 12 assists, while Monica Sozzano added 20 points to help Iowa beat Georgia 74-66 in a second-round women's NCAA tournament game yesterday. With the win, the Hawkeyes in the Sweet 16 for the ninth time in program history. The Hawkeyes play the winner of tonight's game between third-seed Duke and sixth-seed Colorado. Clark held scoreless for 13 minutes in the first half, but scored 14 in the second as the Hawkeyes finally shook off the Lady Bulldogs. Georgia got within 68-66 on a three-pointer with 2:17 left in the game, but the Lady Bulldogs would not score again, committing three straight turnovers and missing a layup. The UNI women's basketball team saw its season come to an end yesterday, falling short at Nebraska 77-57 in the second round of the WNIT. Panthers led 17-16 after the first quarter, but the Cornhuskers responded, got a 9-point lead at halftime. UNI then struggled to shoot the rest of the way. They were led by Maya McDermott, who put in 19 points. Panthers closed their season with a 23-10 record. The UNI softball team made an early statement, sweeping Murray State in a Missouri Valley Conference opening three-game series this weekend. Panthers, preseason favorite to win the Valley, rolled past a Racers team that was picked to finish second, outscoring them 24-1. UNI is off until Friday when it begins a three-game series at Illinois-Chicago. The Iowa baseball team hosted South Dakota State for a doubleheader yesterday. In the first game, Hawkeyes had 11 hits, won 12-2. And in the second game of the twin bill, Iowa rallied from a 3-1 deficit to win 5-3. Hawkeyes are now 14-3 this season. And finally, Wartburg women's basketball player Sarah Faber has been named to the D3Hoops.com first-team all-region squad. The junior guard averaged 13.7 points, 2.7 assists, and 1.5 steals per game. The Clear Lake native helped lead the Knights to a Sweet 16 appearance and an overall 23-7 record. Faber was the American Rivers Conference MVP. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we look back and look ahead on Iowa State men's and women's basketball. Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us next. You're listening to a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
At age 64, Roger Goodell is not the retiring type. He's reportedly set to receive a multi-year extension next week to remain as NFL commissioner, the post he's held since 2006. The Texans have reportedly signed Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz to a one-year deal worth $9 million, and running back Devin Singletary leaves Buffalo for a one-year deal in Houston as well. As the NCAA tournament takes a break until Thursday, the focus turns to the coaching carousel, and Rick Pitino, who recently said he'd coach or could coach until he's 80, is now headed to St. John's for a reported six-year deal to coach the Red Storm. Georgetown has found its new coach, hiring Ed Cooley, formerly of Providence. He had led the Friars to the NCAA tournament five straight years and seven times in the last nine. The Warriors' title defense hasn't been an easy one, especially on the road where they're 7-29. The good news is they're in Houston tonight to face the worst team in the Western Conference, one they've beaten three times this year, the bad. Steph Curry coming off a rare bad outing in which he was 5-15 from the field. The Sixers have won 8 in a row, the longest current winning streak in the league, and they host the Bulls in the start of a home-and-home series. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Pat Hughes. Listen to the Chicago Cubs and fly the W right here on 1650 The Fan.
This is Chris Corson from Next to New Auto Detailing in Waverly. Auto detailing is not an expensive but a wise investment. It will make your vehicle look and feel new again and will also increase the value of your vehicle. At Next to New, we clean anything with wheels, including farm equipment. What are you waiting for? Give us a call today to set up an appointment and learn more about our services and pricing at thenexttonew.com. Next to New Auto Detailing in Waverly, where we guarantee you'll drive away very happy.
At Waterloo Schools, we believe in bold ideas, bold goals, bold ambitions, and taking bold steps to help our students achieve their dreams. This month, we're celebrating some major achievements in winter sports and extracurriculars, like Waterloo West's Hallie Polk just broke the Wahawk all-time scoring record and reached the 2,000-point milestone. Then, at the Tall Corn Jazz Festival, Waterloo West and East performed masterfully, with East's Braden Peterson and Blazin' Barbie McLemore bringing home the Outstanding Soloist Awards for their performances. And our student athletes from East and West made it to state in wrestling, and our girls and boys bowling teams made it to the state bowling tournament as well. We're celebrating these wins and more as we make our way through the championship season for our winter sports. But it all starts in the classroom, where at Waterloo Schools, we inspire students to go beyond doubt and fear, to persevere and be bold. Join us at waterlooschools.org.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Check out VSiN's catalog of original podcasts, daily and weekly programming to keep you in the know when you're on the go. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Chicago Blackhawks have lost 7 of 10, and they're just 10-24 on the road this season. They're a $3.50 underdog of the Avalanche today. Colorado playing for its sixth straight win, -450 on the money line, 6 under at Bald Arena. 76ers have won 8 straight and 9 of 10. They're laying 7.5 against the Bulls today at Wells Fargo Center. 224.5 the total. The Bulls have won 2 straight. They're currently in the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference. That is the final spot in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. Cactus League baseball today. The White Sox, $1.35 favorite over the Diamondbacks. They're +115. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy tonight with a low of 33. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, high of 48. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night, 38. Overcast skies. Highs around 53 Wednesday with a chance for scattered showers. Chance for mixed precipitation, 43 on Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 53.
You are listening to the Power Hour of Sports Talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekdays 5 to 6, right here on The Fan.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. And it was not a pretty weekend for our in-state teams. As it relates to the men's and women's NCAA basketball tournaments, we saw the Iowa men go down, the Iowa State men and women go down, the Drake men and women go down, the Iowa women's basketball team, the only one left standing. And we'll talk about the Iowa women tomorrow on the show, but right now we're pleased to be joined by a colleague of mine at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Rob Gray, a fairly regular on the show, and Rob's here to break down all that was for what were, of course, very successful seasons for both the Iowa State men's and women's teams, but like usual, there can only be one champion, so a bit of a sour taste, if not a little more than that, left in the mouths of Cyclone fans of both of those teams. So, Rob, thanks so much for being here to break it all down today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Good to be with you, Cole. It's actually a reasonably nice day outside. I feel like spring is close.
Yeah, I sure hope so. We don't need any more of what we had this past weekend. I'd put those clothes almost at the end of the closet, so that was no fun digging those back out. And it's beautiful. I got the window cracked here in the studio, and wish we were talking about a couple of wins for the Iowa State men and women this weekend. But Rob, let's start with the Iowa State men in that 6-11 matchup. I mean, it's kind of like, where do you start besides the fact that the ball just absolutely did not want to go through the hoop? The final tally in that 59-41 loss to Pitt, the 11 seed, 14 of 60 from the field, 23%. How much of that, Rob, should be chalked up to, man, it just absolutely wasn't your day and that's going to happen, versus maybe this is kind of the I think there's plenty of people out there saying, well, this had been brewing. There was going to be a game like this at some point. I mean, how do you kind of reckon with, you know, the people who are taking away from this game one way or the other, like I explained?
Well, I mean, this is a team that's still very offensively challenged, even though it's better offensively significantly than it was last season. when they still be a couple really nice favorable matchups, were able to go from 11 seed to the Sweet 16. I don't think anyone can plan on a 23%. I mean, there's no explanation for a 23% shooting effort outside of you just miss a ton of shots you normally make. Pitt had a good game plan. They left Tame and Lipsy wide open. They packed it in the paint. They didn't. They basically said, okay, well, maybe Gabe Kalster can get hot, but who else? And no one else could, and Kalster even, you know, eventually he's got to take more shots, and the volume goes up, and then the percentage goes down. I mean, it was mind-boggling the amount of shots they missed at the rim and wide open from the three-point line that they normally make, even as offensively challenged as they are. So that game was an all-time NCAA tournament worst shooting performance, probably minimum top 10, I mean bottom 10, probably bottom 5, because at one point they were in the running. I think Butler shot 18.8% once a few years back in a game. But it's just inexplicable. And, I mean, it highlighted what they need to work on. Obviously, mm-hmm. they've got great offensive firepower coming in Omaha Biliou, top 10, more or less, consensus guy, and Milan Momolovic out of Pewaukee, Wisconsin, who's the top 40, top 50 guy. But Tame and Lipsy's got to work on his jump shot. We'll see who comes back, and Trey King might come back. Robert Jones might come back. You know, but we'll see what the team looks like. But yeah, it's time for the offense to get mended. But that game was such a weird aberration. Pitt played well. They had a good game plan. But that's a team that Iowa State beats probably 7 out of 10 times they play.
Yeah. When you mentioned the guys who may come back, and Trey King might come back, Robert Jones might come back. Can Jaron Holmes and Oshun-Oshunyi also potentially come back? And Hasten Ward also among those guys?
Yeah, Hasan Ward, I think, potentially has the year. I think that based on the transfers and the however the math is done, Jaron Holmes and Oshun-Oshunyi are pretty much done. And it's, you know, they're, you know, but... Yeah, that's what it looks like right now. I think given how Ward disappeared for about a month and mm-hmm. the energy he produces, although obviously he wasn't doing some things in practice that to the coaching staff warranted him getting on the court for a while, I would maybe he loves the quote-unquote culture, but if I were him, I'd probably be looking to go down a little notch and maybe get a chance for some more playing time. But, hey, that's not to say that he couldn't come back and his game improves. I mean, he's such a force on the defensive end, gets a lot of steals. That would be a big help, too. I mean, it's going to be about, I think, those freshmen coming in. I think they got to go get a shooter or two, a minimum of one good shooter from wherever in the transfer portal. Again, you know, with NIL in play, who knows who you can get. You probably can't get the very, 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 very top guys based on mm-hmm. where some schools are in terms of NIL versus Iowa State, but certainly can get some very capable guys. If Jeremiah Williams come back, he was a better shooter in college than Lipsy was. And this is not to down, by the way, to put down Lipsy. Lipsy was incredible as a freshman.
Yeah.
Defensively incredible. One of the best rebounding guards I've seen. And as a freshman, intangibles, the steals, great passing, great. He finishes at the rack better than Tyrese Hunter did last year as a freshman. So a lot of positives. Just has to develop that jump shot to get it somewhat consistent so teams can't completely sag off of them. But I think the talent will be there next year.
Well, and that makes me think too, Rob, just to jump in, you know, you mentioned Jeremiah Williams who had the Achilles injury. He was penciled in to be the point guard, and he brings some size to that position, a little more shot-making, like you point out. If you take what Tame and Lipsy did and he's not playing – you know, if that's not the circumstances with Williams' injury, he's playing, I don't know, 14 to maybe 20 minutes a game, and I would imagine he'll be, you know, around the 20-25-minute neighborhood, maybe more, maybe less next season. It makes you look at that point guard position and go, there's going to be more shooting. You know, a little less Lipsy could be more. And like you point out, you know, doing some quick math here, asking you about the guys who could or could not come back, there should be at least one, if not two, openings to go add in the portal. And I think the fans are fair to say, please, TJ, just, you know you love defense, but just go out and add some shooters like you mentioned. And they've already achieved so much while at the same time being a pretty flawed roster.
Yeah, I mean, they've put together, they by necessity, focused on the defensive end, focused on being tough, disruptive, making teams not want to play, making teams want to shut down because it's so hard to get their offense going. And again, it's the old cliche, but go back and say, oh, could, you know, if Iowa State gets some Sweet 16 this first year after going 2-22, if they, you know, finish, cling to the upper division of the Big 12, you know, in terms of tied for 9-9 in the second season, get what, six top 10 wins? Never even close to that, and lay a stinker in the NCAA tournament. That happens. That's Purdue. I mean, you can't base where a program's at on one game, even though it's the quote most important game every time you lace it up for an NCAA tournament. So I think they're in a great spot. I think they are attractive to transfers, as they've shown. And again, the infusion of talent in the freshman class, it's not just the two guys I mentioned, but they got other good guys coming in. This is going to be a roster that definitely will have the potential to be play with a little bit more tempo, certainly hit the outside shot better, and again, be committed to that defensive intensity and aggressiveness that I think will always be the identity with TJ there. But they're definitely they play very fast under TJ Otzelberger at South Dakota State a couple of years.
Right. Yeah.
And Jack Dumb and a lot of offensive firepower. So he's going to adapt to what he has. And the first two seasons, what he had to do was get guys that will buy in and be those nitty-gritty, muck-things-up defenders. And still, again, going to look for those guys, but you're bringing online guys with a lot more offensive talent, consistent offensive talent, some unproven at this level, but usually translates when you're as highly rated as some of those guys.
Yeah, I think with respect to the team from this year or last year, it ought to be, you know, interesting to say the least, Rob, when we're able to set our eyes on next year's team, because it's going to be different. It's just a matter of how much different will it look, and how much might that, you know, kind of raise the ceiling of potential, because it seems to me like you're probably operating within a smaller window of the floor is higher, but the ceiling's not quite as high when your offense is limited like it is and you're so defensive-oriented.
Absolutely. And I think Iowa State, I mean, look at Kansas State, what Jerome Tang did in year one, almost a completely remade roster via transfers and some incoming guys, but they just happen to have a couple of guys who are really good offensively too, consistently really good in Noel and Johnson. So, I mean, Iowa State had guys, the most consistent guy after a career of inconsistency was Gabe Kelcher. Jaron Holmes was quite consistent too, just had a really bad shooting game, like all of the Cyclones did, mm-hmm. against Pitt. I think there was inconsistency offensively, certainly from Mashun. I remember he got banged up about a month ago. I don't think he's been the same player since then. Jeff Koons had a couple games where he shot it really poorly his last few games, and he was dealing with that injury, that broken finger injury. So, you know, some of the inconsistency can be traced to maybe some guys being banged up. But, I mean, again, you've got guys with track records coming in that you hope can add around that point to the ability to be more consistent scorers in the future, and a lot of them. So we'll see how the roster shakes up, but it certainly looks like there's reason for optimism yet again in year three under Coach Otzelberger.
Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest for a few more minutes on this Monday edition of Cole & Company, looking back on a couple of tough losses for the Cyclone men and women. And let's talk about those Cyclone women, Rob, as they fall short 80-73. It's a 5-12 matchup, and as cliche as it may be, the 12 gets the best of the 5 here. Got to watch out for those 12 seeds. And tip your cap to Toledo. Thought they played a good game. But, man, what do you make of the fact that the Cyclones, coming out of the Big 12 tournament, seem to just show up with a performance that, you know, didn't at all resemble what they were able to do in Kansas City just recently?
Yeah, that's it's similar to the men. I mean, they missed a lot of shots they normally make as well. I mean, wide open threes from the quote-unquote big three, and some of them weren't even close. I mean, that would have allowed them to not fall behind as much as they did. I think they were down by as many as 16-ish. Just completely ambushed in the second quarter, up three going in the second quarter, 12-0 run Toledo. Toledo's hitting threes. They're not great at hitting threes. I think they had five in the first half. They usually average six in a game. You get a team like that with talent, backcourt talent especially, and shooting talent, getting confident, you know, all the connections that I wrote about and others wrote about, you mm-hmm. know, Coach Bill Fenley's first head coaching job, Toledo. They're very close with Toledo's 15th-year head coach. So it just was a snowball. And as good as Ashley Jones has been, she had to force up a lot of difficult shots. Still got hers, 23-13, perfect at the foul line, 11-11. And what a great, great, great historic career she capped at Iowa State, emotionally, obviously, in a first-round loss. But again, they make half the shots that they normally make. They're not behind. They're not having to fight from as far behind as they did, and I think they still pull that game out. But, I mean, again, kudos to Toledo, though. I mean, they had shot makers, they made shots. Iowa State had shot makers, they didn't make shots. And again, Stephanie Suarez was supposed to be the difference maker in games like this that allows an Iowa State to have a big that's versatile and a great shot blocker that sets them apart from teams like Toledo that have a lot of talent but don't have that. And you know, losing her... There's talk that she wants to come back. I can't imagine how the NCAA could deny a waiver, but there's a lot of things at play. If a WNBA team really likes her a lot, and a number of them, those teams do, make her a high, you know, first-round pick, I mean, what do you do after you had a big knee injury? Do you go pro, or do you, you know, trust your heart, I guess, of wanting to come back? Because there are things she can improve in her game. But it'd be an interesting offseason there, too. A lot of talent coming in, a lot of talent coming back.
Yeah.
Albeit no Ashley Jones, no Morgan Kane, et cetera. But, I mean, just an uncharacteristic effort, and Toledo played a great game, and, you know, the Iowa State essentially ran out of time because they had really started to get control in that fourth quarter.
As much as it's kind of hard to wrap our heads, Rob, about the two games that we watched this weekend with the Iowa State men and women, I mean, it can't be lost that both had very successful seasons amid some adversity, injuries for both teams, but... you know, you go back a couple years, and if you would have, like you pointed out earlier with the men, offered this in advance to the fan base, I think they would have jumped all over it. So appreciate your time here today on the show, like always, and I'm sure that we'll be catching up at some point here as the transfer portal madness continues and the nonstop roster shaping probably gets some headlines here in the coming months.
Yes, sir, and spring football kicking off too, pro day tomorrow, so... Right back at it.
Yep. Hey, I've got Mark Farley audio coming up next on the show. So here we're already there, Rob.
Nice. Well, good to talk to you, Cole.
Likewise, Rob. Take care.
Yes, you too.
There you have it. Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on this Monday edition of Cole & Company. And yeah, that Mark Farley audio, that's up next on the other side of this break. So let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Then we'll talk spring football next. We'll look at the Panthers right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa defensive end Joe Evans says returning for a fifth season will help him reach his goal of playing in the NFL. The Ames native began his career as a walk-on and last season had 41 tackles, including 6.5 sacks, in the Hawkeyes' 8-5 season. His experience will be a boost after defensive end Lucas Van Ness left early for the draft.
I mean, there's always so much things that I can improve on, and a big thing for me right now is I'm just improving on my leadership skills, and that's something that... I think can take me a long way, and then also, like, there's just so much things that I can improve on the field.
They open spring practice on Wednesday. Hawkeye women's basketball coach Lisa Bluter hopes standout freshman Hannah Stolke will be able to play Friday in Seattle when third-ranked Iowa plays in the Sweet 16. She injured her ankle in practice Saturday and missed Sunday's 74-66 win over Georgia. The Hawkeyes play the winner of tonight's game between Colorado and Duke. This is Radio Iowa.
I've been driving trucks for a long time, and safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
The first 3 years of every child's life are critical. Learn more about early intervention. How your baby or toddler plays, learns, talks, acts, and moves give important clues as to how they are developing. If you have any questions or concerns about whether your baby or toddler's development is on track, please call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229. Call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. Attention all parents in Cedar Falls whose children will be in the class of 2036. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th in order to attend kindergarten in the 2023-24 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student. The principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed kindergarten registration forms are required for all incoming students and must be turned in by March 30th. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. Visit cfschools.org.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Got big dreams for your small business? You're not alone. Bremel Madsen Insurance is a growing business too. That's why they work with Nationwide, a leading small business insurer that insures over 500,000 businesses like yours. Nationwide can help protect and grow your business so you can focus on making your small business dreams come true. Give Bremel Madsen Insurance a call today at 266-2644. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Want to keep your AC from conking out? At your local one-hour heating and air conditioning, we recommend an AC tune-up, ASAP. It can help pinpoint potential problems and even extend the life of your air conditioning system. How's that for a comforting thought? Right now, get cool savings on an AC tune-up. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
We don't realize how much our breathing affects our everyday lives until this. Or this. Or this. Our team at Cedar Valley Center for ENT Sinus and Allergy is here to make breathing a breeze. We will treat your allergies, sleep apnea, and sinusitis using innovative procedures and technology. Talk to Dr. David Congdon and Dr. Kenny Rodriguez and put your breathing problems in the past. Call 319-888-8044 for a consultation today. Don't let breathing problems disrupt your everyday life. Breathe easy with Cedar Valley Center for ENT Sinus and Allergy.
This is Zach Gelb, and you're listening to Cole & Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader. Next up from 6 to 9 is me. It's the Zach Gelb Show, weeknights right here on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. Spring football getting underway with many programs across the country, including the UNI Panthers. Mark Farley met the media today ahead of the Panthers Pro Day this afternoon. A handful of Panthers competing in that for a shot to play in the NFL or other potential professional football leagues. And so beginning with that Pro Day, Coach Farley mentioned how those opportunities have grown to play professional football. And he also pointed out a pair of the Panthers participating in the Pro Day and the fact that they've got the best chance among the group to get selected and get opportunities.
Oh, they'll get their chance because what has gone on now, what's new in football is you've got the XFL, you've got the USFL, you've got the CFL, plus the NFL is bringing 95 guys into camp. So it's a lot more opportunity for guys to at least to get a look. So they'll get their opportunity to get in camp, to get a look, and then after that, that's all you can ask for. But we have probably your two top ones is Sapp and Sorensen, being they played in the Hula Bowl, and so that gave them a week's worth of practice at the Hula Bowl, and that's always a big deal. That's an all-star practice week. There's possible invites into camps to get individual workouts on. So this will play out all the way through draft day, but I would say those two, because of all-star games, are most apt to get a chance. But there's others that are going to get free agency or even now USFL, XFL type things to take a look at them.
Just to specify those two, Benny and Eric, being Benny Sapp, UNI safety, and Eric Sorensen, an offensive lineman who played center this past season for Coach Farley's Panthers. When it comes to spring practices that begin Coming up on Wednesday, I asked Coach Farley what it's been like preparing for this spring with three former longtime coaches in Rick Nelson, offensive line coach, Jeremiah Johnson, defensive coordinator, and Keelan Brookins, secondary coach, back on staff.
Oh, it's great. There's no question it's great, as you would assume. When you sit in our room right now and you've got those guys in it, everybody knows everybody for multiple years, not just in a couple weeks, it's multiple years. There's a very good vibe just because of walking down the hallway, whether you're teasing somebody or working hard at something, it's all kind of blends together as a good work day. And then even today, the extra ones that came in, Riley Van Wy, a former player of ours, he just got here today. He's going to be one of our young assistants to get started in the business. Nick Ellis is up there with us. He's going to be one of the young ones to get into the business and work with us. And then Justin Piney is already down in the weight room going through the graduate assistantship to the strength training program that worked with us. So we've got those three former players that understand our system. It's just a good, solid vibe, and you can progress and move so much more quickly and efficiently as a coach, which is only going to in turn help your players because they're getting the right words, they're getting the efficient teaching. You can get more done in the same amount of time when you're through the training wheel stages of learning stuff. You're into the more specific phases of teaching and really making your player better.
Given expected position battles at offensive line, running back, safety, and D-line, I asked Coach Farley, how much is there to gain for a player in those battles in spring practices versus fall camp?
What's great about the battle in the spring is it's a long-term battle. It's not a couple-week battle. When you get in the fall, you got 2 weeks to practice and 2 weeks to get to play. So this will have a factor in the depth chart because it's a body of work. What's your body of work over 5 weeks' time? And that body of work will determine what the mindset or perception is going into fall camp of what you are. Now, if you come in and make a swing for the fence and you're better in the fall, it'll show up within the first 2 weeks, but you only got 2 weeks to show. And then all of a sudden, you just got to start game planning people. So the spring is critical to position yourself of what your talent is, where you fit within what we do, and where you are in the depth chart as far as, I always say this, you want three guys at every position. So if I got two offensive tackles, I want three. If I got two defensive ends, I want three. If I'm playing two tight ends, I want three. Got one quarterback, I need two. Got two running backs, I need three. So I always want, as I was told a long time ago, a pair and spare. And somebody's going to get nicked up in this game. So to be a great football team, that next man in has to be a starter. And that's what you find out in the spring is who that next guy is because he's going to get multiple reps. These new players that we just got, I mean, what's great about this spring is they're all here. A lot of these guys are already on campus, so we get them in spring ball. We don't have to wait to see what we have. We'll find out what they are in spring ball. They'll find out what we're about in spring ball, what our standards are, and we'll find out about what their talent is. And by doing so, they'll give a better start in the fall because we'll be through again that initial training phase and we can get right into football come the fall. So this is a huge spring in my opinion. We've got a whole new defensive line, a lot of new defensive players. Offensively, we've got a new offensive line, got some talent at quarterbacks, there's no question about that. So how quickly can we get them in a groove? And then, but how much can we develop those younger guys that got to become starters for us and yet challenge them to what they're going to face in the fall?
Younger guys that are going to have to develop and be starters, that's at the running back position. You heard Coach Farley talk about it, and Coach was asked, you know, how much do you need your starters, your guys that have played in the system, are returning, how much do you need them to help guys like at that running back position to get up to speed in time?
Well, that'll be huge because you don't want to slow down your install when you got some players that are more advanced, but yet you can't pass up the guy that's got to learn it as well. So yeah, they're going to have to become coaches and mentors on the field. So when you're not taking that rep, that somebody's over coaching that guy in the sideline, whether it's a player or whether it's one of these younger coaches, that's their job, is to coach the ones that aren't on the field. Don't worry about the ones on the field, I got them covered. Coach the ones that aren't on the field, make sure you're getting them caught up. Come up in the extra time during the day and get your extra film work in if you're one of those new guys. You got to put in the time to get caught up. It's up to you as much as it is for us to go the right pace for you. But this is a two-way deal, man. You gotta do your extra time too. And then, like you said, the great teams, I mean, you got guys on the sideline are helping the guys standing there instead of just waiting your turn. You're getting mental reps as much as you're getting physical reps. So, yeah, spring is a balancing act, but spring is a blast because you can create some great competition and you can find out a lot about a team when you have depth. This is probably the first time we've had depth in spring ball since pre-COVID because we went through all that COVID stuff. We're just coming out of it now. And when we went into it, we had that was a big senior class that we lost that didn't get to play. All that got messed up, screwed up the recruiting class behind it with numbers. Now we're just getting back to 80-some guys in camp. I think last year I went into spring ball with maybe 65, just short of 70 guys. So you couldn't even create a depth chart. I probably have 15 more players today than I did this time last year just to go into spring ball. So that's nice because you start talking spring games and things like that. It'd be nice to get to a spring game and have the players to create two sides instead of some mock thing that you do because of injuries and lack of depth.
There you have it, a preview of UNI football spring practices from Coach Mark Farley. He did say today that as long as the team doesn't get too banged up during spring practices, he anticipates a Friday night spring game on April 21st. All right, let's take this final timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Brad Heller with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Cowboys added a new playmaker for Dak Prescott by acquiring wideout Brandon Cooks from the Texans in exchange for a 2023 fifth-round pick and a 2024 sixth-round pick, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Cooks led the Texans with 57 catches and 699 yards last season. Laremy Tunsil got his wish to become the highest-paid tackle in the NFL on Sunday. The Texans are signing Tunsil to a 3-year, $75 million contract extension that includes $50 million in fully guaranteed money and up to $60 million in total guarantees, according to Rappaport. The new extension makes the three-time Pro Bowler the highest-paid tackle in NFL history for the second time in his career. And the Panthers and free agent wideout Adam Thielen agreed to terms on a 3-year, $25 million deal with $10 million in the first year, according to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The decision to buy local doesn't have to come at a cost at Direct Appliance in Cedar Falls. At Direct Appliance, you'll find the best deals on top-rated appliances made by companies like GE. GE appliances and profile lines are built in the USA and offer a wide range of features for any budget. At Direct Appliance, you get unparalleled hometown service. Click on directappliancesandtv.com or stop in at 5424 University Avenue in Cedar Falls. Choose local, choose service, choose GE and Direct Appliance.
It's too overwhelming.
Feels like nonsense.
Sinking deeper.
Too much to handle.
A never-ending hole.
It's too overwhelming.
Feels like nonsense.
Sinking deeper.
Too much to handle.
It's too overwhelming. It's too overwhelming. It's too overwhelming. I can't escape it.
Someone you know is dealing with anxiety or depression. Fact. In the U.S. alone, 10% or 5.5 million children and young adults deal with some form of anxiety or depression. But there's help. There's hope. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Waterloo Youth City Council.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. As soon as we enter March Madness, we always like to look for that Cinderella story, and this year hasn't disappointed. You got two number one seeds left. National powerhouses Duke and Kansas, Kentucky and Indiana all eliminated. Still plenty of prestigious programs set to tip off Thursday and Friday for the Sweet 16, but this year has a unique blend to it. Connecticut and Michigan State have all found success in March before, but the two teams are still coming in as a 4-7 seed. Then there's the 15-seeded Princeton Tigers. The team started the tournament by knocking off one of the public's favorites in Arizona. After an impressive game against Missouri, the Tigers are now a real threat in the Sweet 16. With so much turnover in college hoops, we generally like to side with a coach or team with extensive experience and a history of success in March Madness. But if this season's early exits are telling us anything, it's that when it comes to March Madness, there's no such thing as a sure thing. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. the 2023 Mercedes-Benz SUV family. Their only competition is each other. Each of the impressive models features world-class innovations, ranging from MBUX voice-activated assistance technology to safety features like attention assist that can detect drowsiness and alert you when it's time to take a break. The SUVs, including the sleek GLB with room to seat up to seven, the category-leading GLE, the GLS is one of the smartest SUVs on the road, the capable and stylish GLC, and the striking yet robust GLA, each model packed with cutting-edge technology that every driver deserves. Most families have one star. This family has a full team of them. The 2023 Mercedes-Benz family of SUVs. Extraordinary is one test drive away. Learn more at MBUSA.com. That's MBUSA.com.
You're listening to the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan. And you're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, weekdays 5 to 6.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here on this Monday edition of the show. Got to thank Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Got the Bracket Attack bracket updated at the website, 1650thefan.com. So if your other bracket is busted, maybe your where you are in Bracket Attack is hopefully, maybe, possibly not so busted. Got to thank all the sponsors. Next New Auto Detailing, Beaver Hills Country Club, Ted's Home and Hardware, Deary Brothers Collision Center, Rudy's Tacos, and Karen's Print Right for making Bracket Attack possible. Have a great night, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 5. Tune in to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson, 6 to 8.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.